Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. .podbean.com.
Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and Southside Broadcasting. .podbean.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
Today is the day, and we'll find out more about today is the day and why today is the day for FAB, First Action Bureau. There, I've given it away. But before we get into Jamie Anderson's wonderful world, we have got two fabulous folk already online and ready and keen to actually go like greyhounds in the proverbial slips. First of all, lead writer from Starburst magazine, it's Robin Pierce. How are you, Robin?
Hey, how are you, Alex?
Well, still well. And actually, it's interesting to know that, Robin, if all being well, you join us tomorrow and indeed Saturday, you will have actually completed, conceivably, if you do both on Saturday, 5 consecutive Zoom inserts. Amazing. I really didn't think it was going to happen. Little did I realise the record would be smashed by Wales, but still. Graham Harper, of course.
Somebody needs to phone Guinness.
Yeah, we will. Maybe not. Anyway, our ace director was with us as well, just as I get told that my internet connection is unstable. Oh, no, we're all over the place. BAFTA award-winning director, Graham Harper. Welcome back, Graham. I always like to feel that in many ways, yourself, myself, we were here at the very start. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers of podcasts that we put together. This is actually podcast number 4,260.
Oh my goodness me! Not with me.
No, but I think we between if we actually include the radio shows with myself, plus of course those broadcastathons and marathons, we must be in the thousands somewhere along the line. I mean, since the 1980s
onwards.
Yeah,
we've talked a lot.
Curious enough, you'll be interested in knowing that following the piece that we do with yourself and Robin and Jamie Anderson when he joins us, we've actually managed to get through for once to Adrian Wrigglesford. And Adrian's got a little piece to think about as well. I know, it's amazing. I managed to teach him how to use Zoom effectively from Peterborough. So there we are.
And actually,
it's all happening. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we actually can move on to the next exciting stage of this. And the triple header will be complete because, yes, we have vision. Hopefully we have sound as well. We can welcome Jamie Anderson. Hi, Jamie.
Hello, gents. How you doing?
Hello, Adrian. Excuse me. Hello, Jamie.
I don't know. A BAFTA award-winning director, and he still can't remember your first name, Jamie. I'm shocked. You know, it's
coming from mind. Graham, I'll happily be Adrian for this one.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you.
No, we're coming to make a group, Mr. Wrigglesford, after. Jamie, I've just been building this up by saying today is the day. FAB day. It has happened. The moment that we've all been waiting for. I mean, there are those of us who actually would say, could it be a case of connecting this with the joys of this, as he actually holds up two of the Anderson sort of legends there in terms of the Secret Service and, of course, Gerry Anderson's Gemini Force 2. Not quite, but it's equally as exciting. I mean, I can't hold myself back any further because the yelps of joy when I actually saw the LinkedIn. I got it via LinkedIn initially. I thought, wow, it's going to happen. Share with us.
FAB. It's the age-old question from Anderson fans. What does it stand for? What does it mean? Well, we used to say nothing at all because it just meant affirmative. But now, it means First Action Bureau, the First Action Bureau is a spy-fi full cast audio drama set in 2068, part of a broader Andiverse that we're building, and stars, among others, Sacha Dhawan, Patterson Joseph, Nicola Walker, and Genevieve Gaunt, and my friend Richard James, and Wayne Forrester, and co-created and written by me and Nicholas Briggs, who I think you know, Graham.
I do, yes.
All know.
Yeah, I mean, he still needs to come back on the programme, but let's face it, Graham, with that Nicholas Briggs doing those cyber voices and Dalek voices, you know, maybe your awesomeness in the David Tennant era would just not be as awesome as we remember it.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. I think he's brilliant. His voices are brilliant.
In fact, I was thinking, actually, it's high time we put out an invite out for Richard James to join us on the programme as well before too long. Anyway, enough of such stuff, because I could actually also say, any chance, Jamie, in FAB of seeing the appearance of... No, maybe not. Surely not. I'm holding up Torchy the Battery Boy there, but, you know, maybe that's just as ridiculous as saying we'll get Four Feather Falls in as well.
Well, I'll give you a small exclusive to say that we've just been working on something today for Halloween that is torture related. So,
wow. This is just like Christmas Day.
Obviously, yeah.
It's amazing. I'm going to have a lie down, folks. Well, I'll turn around and actually say, Robin, we were talking about the Anderson verse. We came off
before
the
back we
of
do that. I've got to say, I've never seen you look so happy.
I'm honoured.
It probably says so much about the need for a social life, but never mind. Robin, would you like to go into that initial question about the expanded DC, well, not DC, but the Andiverse, the connections between Fireball XL5, Stingray, all the greats?
Yes. I was born in 1960, and I grew up actually watching all of your late father's shows. I mean, I knew the name Gerry Anderson before the other big influences of my childhood, which were Irwin Allen and Batman. I've always wondered, were International Rescue and WASP, you know, were they all in the same unit? Were they all operating in the same kind of time frame? You know, could for example WASP call in International Rescue to help with an underwater rescue, for example? It's just something I've always wondered.
Well, the question is, would they need them, I guess, Robin, with Thunderbird 4? Yeah. I mean, who needs WASP?
Exactly.
I mean, the shows themselves were not made to interconnect. That, you know, it was just, especially with Dad's thinking, it was always like, you know, this show is done. Stingray is over. What's next? Oh, Thunderbirds. And, you know, there was a giant brick wall built in between them as far as he was concerned in his mind.
That was a big shame for me, because I remember being a huge, huge fan of Thunderbirds, as most of us were in about 1966. And of course, reading in TV 21, the next big show was Captain Scarlet. And I remember 6 or 7 year old me thinking, you know, I'm not done with Thunderbirds. What are you doing?
Well, you can blame Lou Grade for that. But I mean, you know, they did get connected in TV 21.
I've got a few TV 21 questions aiming actually at Graham in just Perfect. A minute. But before that, I work for Starburst magazine, and I'm here to basically throw the cat among the pigeons. So I've got a question for you, Jamie, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
A few years ago, the BBC ran a documentary called 30 Years in the TARDIS to commemorate 30 years. Yes, I have a feeling you might know where this is going.
I possibly might do. Let's see.
They interviewed your father.
Yes.
Gerry Anderson said that one of the disappointments of his life was that his son, and I'm looking at you, sir, was more of a Doctor Who fan than any Super Mario Nation.
Hooray!
Is that true?
Well, I can just very briefly correct you and say that he described that fact as the greatest tragedy of his life. So, but otherwise, yes, you're completely accurate. I was obsessed with Doctor Who when I was a kid, and obviously for the man behind Thunderbirds and all the other stuff, that was slightly embarrassing, particularly when he was going into the BBC for meetings around marketing and stuff when they were re-showing Thunderbirds. But they really milked that, because when he was at these marketing meeting round tables, somebody would come in right in the middle of it, just the most awkward timing, and hand over a box of Doctor Who VHS tapes for me.
Unbelievable. You know, surely we need to break these barriers down. We need to actually... I actually have to ask Jamie a TV21 question for myself. Any chance of seeing Bereznik appear with First Action Bureau?
So the Andiverse that we're building is independent of ITV's content. So you never know. There's always room for those things to come in, should ITV wish to discuss it.
If Spectre can come back to Bond, surely Bereznik can come back to deal with the First Action Bureau. You never know.
I mean, there were some great TV21 stories. I'm sure there's a Fireball XL5 that's got the first arrival of Penelope and Parker and Stingray in it, all in one story. So...
And huge kudos as well to the actual voice artist who actually worked on the Zero X series of podcasts that was also available. Brilliant. In fact, I've actually just spent the last 6 hours just looking at all the wonderful material that's actually there online.
More to come.
Graham, we've got this other big reveal that Jamie's going to announce in a few moments, which is the Thunderbirds episode we're going to focus on, Robin and myself and other colleagues, on Resonance Rewind. But Graham, questions for Jamie?
I was interested to know what's happening in the Thunderbird world. Sorry, can't speak. Do you have any connection at all with it anymore, or is it totally owned by ITV?
Yeah, ITV own and control it, and they did their animated Thunderbirds Argo series from 2015 to last year, I think. But as far as I know, that's it. They have no more plans for anything. I don't know, maybe it needs a little rest after the most recent reboot. Who knows? But
Did you watch any of that? I didn't, I'm afraid. I didn't see anything of it. Not because I didn't want to, because I just was so busy on other things, I didn't have the time to watch that.
Pretty similar to me, Graham.
Jamie's had difficulty actually booking in time to do one of these Zoomers with us. I mean, he hasn't got time to actually watch an ITV series, and it's, come on now, it's just not going to happen.
Absolutely. I understand.
No, I don't get a lot of telly in. I've watched a few of them, and they, you know, certainly made some improvements across it. But to me, it was never quite Thunderbirds as such. It didn't feel like Thunderbirds.
Are we allowed to mention that Thunderbirds movie of a few years ago? I mean, I'm a fan. I liked The Next Generation. But
Robin, can I point you in the direction very briefly there?
Yes.
Briefly pointing in the direction of an early edition of the Anderson podcast, an interview with Sophia Miles, etc., in which she actually gives a wonderful answer in terms of how 2- and 3-year-olds loved it. Anybody who actually remember the original series, probably less so. And
The thought of actually Sophia Miles actually blowing smoke up her rear end, a different line entirely. I wish I hadn't gone there, but never mind.
That film actually made me want to go out, find Jonathan Frakes and slap him hard.
Wow. I'm sure he'll be running to hide now for that, Robin.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
The word is out there. Robin, you know we start off with Marina Sirtis. We'll move on to Jonathan Frakes. Graham, you were a fan of the original Thunderbirds series. Why? Because at that stage, you were obviously just, you know, you'd been a child actor. You'd progressed in terms of direction, etc. What was it that kind of captured the magic of the original series?
Well, I was a kid through the 50s and then into the 60s in teenager. I wasn't really interested in puppets at all. But when Thunderbirds came on, I really believed in them. I mean, if I was a teenager, but I really believed they were as good as actors and they were interesting to watch. And I didn't notice all the nylon wires, obviously because of Super Mario Nation. But I found them absolutely superb to watch. And like Derek Meddings, you know, who was went on to do huge, extraordinary things in his life. And there he was doing huge and extraordinary things in this puppet series. They were brilliant. They were brilliant to watch.
They were high-end filmic and, so good. It didn't matter they were puppets.
No, it was really... And the stories were good. It was really good and very interesting. I'm not surprised that Lou Grade... I mean, I'm sure Lou Grade must have thought when he first heard it, what? But he was absolutely over the moon about it, wasn't he?
Oh, well, yeah. Obviously. I mean, not enough to commission another series of it, but enough to keep funding Dad's new projects. But
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Hard man.
Clearly, we need to obviously put in the bid now. I'll do it on Graham's behalf here in my kind of connective thing, that when you're looking to make the live action version of First Action Bureau, it's going to happen. I mean, you know, podcasts will lead to live action and so on. Graham must be in the frame for direction. I mean, the way he actually worked with the Dalek, the whole range of things, the Daleks and Cybermen, etc. He's got to be your go-to person. I'm just putting it out on Graham's behalf.
Okay, Graham and Nick have history as well, so who am I?
Exactly,
with that?
Exactly.
But I think Jamie might be wanting to direct that.
I'm not big into directing stuff, to be honest, Graham. A creative producing role, yes, and directing audio probably, but. Yeah, I think there are people better than me. Knowing one's limitations is pretty important, isn't it?
Yeah.
There are no limitations, Jamie. No limits. That's the key thing.
All right, Spider, what if you say so?
Robin, did you have another quick question? I'll just put to Graham as well.
Yes, I do. Okay, Graham, as we have spoken before, and as you know, you directed my favourite Doctor Who story of all time, Army of Ghosts and Doomsday, where finally the Cybermen and the Daleks are launching a huge invasion of Earth, and we got flanks of Daleks flying all over the place. Now, presumably that might have well have been storyboarded. Did you use the old Dalek strip from the back page of TV21 as a reference at all?
I'm sorry to say no.
It's like the most beautiful strip from TV21 come to life on my screen.
Oh, that's very good. No, I didn't. I didn't know about that, I'm afraid, so I didn't. And it's really weird. We did do... I mean, I really got into storyboarding on Doctor Who. The new series of Doctor Who. Throughout my career, until the late 90s, I'd never got involved in storyboarding in any way, and I wish I had, because it's a very useful tool. But by the time we got to this new series of Doctor Who, the series that I was doing with Tennant, storyboarding was a must and was absolutely brilliant to do. And I found it fascinating to watch the storyboards come to life on the screen, because they were followed very carefully. But I didn't come to, I didn't nick anything, I'm afraid, from Century 21.
Jamie, do you believe that?
I believe whatever Graham says.
Oh, thank you, Jamie.
He's got a very trustworthy face.
Marvellous. I mean, unlike the official Gerry Anderson podcast, which is brilliant, we always have a time limit with respect to these shows because it goes on Siren Radio as well. So much as I'd like to say, we can go off for 2.5 hours. I'm sorry, that's only the 100th episode and the 100th podcast. And I have to say, Jamie, one thing which is to your credit, and pass it on to Richard as well, you do kind of keep the interest for those levels. You, sometimes I tend to think that Chris Dale goes on a bit, you know, just a thought, just a minor thing, you know. I think watching a descriptor of Captain Scarlet may be a little bit too much, but other than that, it's and I would certainly heartily recommend to both Robin and, of course, Piercing the Veil, another classic podcast, and Graham, if you're looking for a podcast which is fascinating, well worth signing up. In fact, you know what, Graham? I even pressed the subscribe button today. Even pressed the subscribe button. Yeah.
Bless you. Thanks.
But let's move on to this other little program and radio show that we put together that Graham's yet to be a part of. I'm sure you will be. Robin, we came up with this actually in lockdown. Middlesbrough might be going back into lockdown, apparently, so that's great. But in terms of the... always ahead of the game in the northeast, you see. And Lincoln, who knows what's going to happen with that.
Come to Wales.
Resonance Rewind, our first Gerry Anderson series that we covered, or our episodes that we covered, was indeed the Black Sun episode of Space 1999. And I did actually reference you, Jamie, in terms of the heartwarming moment at Lincoln where you actually screened the Barry Morse and Martin Lando sequence there, to everything that was and to everything that is to, that will be, etc. That particular line, quote.
Might have been and was, yeah. It's a lovely little piece, that.
Superb. But you have the power, because Graham suggested we should actually focus on an episode of Thunderbirds. There are 32 of them to choose from, so critical from that point of view. This is the moment where you will reveal, I know, revealed First Action Bureau, and now the next set of the episode of Thunderbirds that we will be analysing in Resonance Rewind. It will be...
an old favourite of mine, with lots of tales of problems when they were making
tales. I like we did there. Tales, brilliant.
All sorts of things, yes. On balance, on the scales, I've gone for Attack of the Alligators.
Robin has punched the air with joy there. We have got Attack of the Alligators.
And Graham looks almost slightly tearful about that. Sorry, Graham, if it's not a favourite of yours, it soon will be.
It's the one in which I think Derek Meddings almost had to leap out of the actual thing because he was being bitten by an alligator. Amazing.
He came off the leash. And I think Lady Penelope almost lost a leg as well. So, yes, it's well worth a watch.
Jamie, did you go to the set a lot as a young man?
So I was born in Terrorhawk's time. My first on-set experience was really kind of adverts Dad was doing in the late 80s at Pinewood, and then Space Precinct in the early 90s, which was an amazing thing, an amazing playground for an eight-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah.
That's only because you didn't have the TARDIS to actually travel back in time to obviously work through that. And that'll happen. Exactly. I mean, look at what we're doing now, gentlemen, as we sort of begin to wrap up this whole sort of sequence. You know, it's if Hiram Hackenbacher was actually talking to a screen in and up, people would have said, he's insane. It's just not there. Here we are, you know. And Jamie, I've often said... To me, Zoom is the ideal ice lolly from the 1960s, you know?
From Zoom ice lollies to fab ice lollies, Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
Jamie, we know you have to head off, because we're going to squeeze the juice out of all of us little bits and pieces, but I'll put the two questions to you on behalf of the team. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Of course. It's been marvellous. Thank you.
Well, then the next critical question is what, Graham?
Will you come back and see us again? I say it differently. Can you join us again?
Do I have a choice?
No.
Then yes, absolutely.
Excellent.
There we are. Very stuff. Jamie, you may log out if you wish. I've got a few more minutes to actually work through on that sort of basis. Thank you. A round of applause for Jamie Anderson, please.
Thanks.
Very, very good to meet you.
And we will connect again with FAB very shortly. Oh, yes, we'll move on for that. Yeah, available on all platforms. Well, we're kind of doing a reverse sort of system from that perspective.
Good.
Robin, any other questions or thoughts you'd like to put to Graham at this moment?
I wish I was a spaceman, the fastest guy alive. I'd fly you round the universe in Fireball XL5. Way out in space together, conquerors of the sky. My heart would be a fireball, a fireball. Every time I gazed into your starry eyes. We take the path to Jupiter, and maybe very soon we cruise along the Milky Way and land upon the moon. To a wonderland of stardust, we'd zoom our way to Mars. My heart would be a fireball. But though I'm not a spaceman, famous and renowned, I'm just a guy that's down to earth with both feet on the ground. It's all imagination, I'll never reach the skies. My heart is still a fireball, a fireball. Every time I gaze into your starry eyes, fireball, fireball. Every time I gaze into your starry eyes, fireball, fireball.
I am. How would you fix Doctor Who now?
Ooh, now that's a big one. Oh gosh,
I wasn't just after reveal, just after Jamie Anderson, it's like another series of explosions. It's amazing.
Hey, it's what I do. Come on.
Well, I stick with a woman. I love the Lady Doctor Who. I think that's she can run for a bit longer. I think it'd be terrific to if they ask her to do another 3 years. That would be stunning. I don't know whether she would do that, but I think it's interesting. I think it's a really nice, interesting perspective. I get the impression, now I'm going to be shocked by this for this, but I get the impression that money is being squeezed out of the programme a bit, which is what
I get that him. Impression. Yeah.
And it's a shame, because what's brilliant about Doctor Who is that if the stories are great, they will hold, they will really work no matter what you do to them or not do to them. So if there's not a lot of money being used, if the stories are really good and the performances are good, it will run. It'll hold an audience, but only for a little bit, for a short time. It won't last forever. And I think they need to be careful of that, because Doctor Who is a fantastically big project or programme within the BBC's programming. And I think if they start to lose it through lack of money, when they had such a fantastic start with, certainly with the... David Tennant period and onwards, and Matt Smith, but they've got to be very careful. So I would vote for keep putting £1 million an episode into it, because I think it will really, really pay you off again.
I agree.
I mean, Russell T. Davis, I think, obviously nailed it when he not only brought you back, Graham, together with Phil Collinson and so on, but obviously progressed the whole thing in a way which somehow Stephen Moffat, nor indeed Chris Chibnall, have really quite managed to capture that with respect to the fans. Now, Graham, I mean, I think Adrian's got one or two things to actually say about the John Nathan Turner era, but John Nathan Turner also had a number of fans who kind of got a little bit annoyed with him. Now, of course, we look back and we say, John Nathan Turner, genius. Is it just a case of sometimes people can be too close to the actual project and fans in particular can sometimes be a little bit iffy?
I think talking about money, that was the problem with Doctor Who for 10 years. I mean, John was producer for 10 years, I think. And all that time, the money was cut and cut and cut and cut. And yet he still managed to get great writers. He still managed to do great stories. They may not have been made financially very well because there was no money, but it still lasted. It still had a huge, but I mean, they were getting 7,000 or 8,000 viewers when it was really at its lowest ebb. So 7,000 or 8,000, what am I talking about? Millions. He ran that program under huge pressure. And I thought he was really good, very clever.
He also had to, you know, clearly deal with the likes of media requests coming in from radio stations in Dulwich and in West London. And Lord knows how I actually cope with that. I think it was all down to Sarah, his secretary personally, but what the hey, it's by the by. in fact, she was Linda Barron's daughter, if memory serves.
She was, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
She never wanted to be an actress, so that was a shame, because I suspect she would have been a good one.
Well, life continues. That's the important thing. We put out, Graham, as you know, that first inkling of actually getting you work with Jamie Anderson. Who knows? It might manifest, in which case we'll take our usual fee. Probably 0%, but what the heck.
It depends what he offers.
I know, exactly. But if you had a dream job, I mean, the other thing this week is that the latest trailer for No Time to Die has just actually dropped. It's now been available for viewing and so on. Technically a November release. That's November 2020 as opposed to November 2021, but we don't know. Is Bond ever a franchise that you'd ever sort of thought, I'd quite like to do a Bond movie? Because I do know you worked extensively with Martin Campbell, who had lots of enthusiasm and drive back in the day, and still does.
He did. I loved him. I loved working with him. I had a huge shock to the system working with him because he was so extraordinary as a director, and we all knew he was going to be making feature films. And guess what? Within years,
GoldenEye, Green Lantern, classics in their own case. Oh, you know, genius.
He's absolutely brilliant. He's a brilliant director. If I was offered James Bond, I'd be thrilled. But I'm getting.
Listen, Graham, it's between yourself and Christopher Nolan. I think Nolan has shot his bolt with Tenet, personally, and for me. You should be in the frame. That's my line. Robin might agree to differ.
No. I'm afraid that Tenet just collapsed under the weight of its own cleverness for me. So, no.
I haven't seen it yet.
Be prepared for a lot of timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff in a James Bond movie.
All right. Okay. I can't wait.
It's 2.5 hours. You'll never get back.
Somehow, I guess I get the sense that the Christopher Nolan stable not necessarily be hugely impressed with that as a rating, or maybe it won't be clipped. Although I don't know, I can't wait. Graham Harper as a sort of side, but would possibly work. I'm sure it'll be wonderful. Graham, have you made your way back to the cinemas yet? Because Robin has, Richard Fitzwilliams has, I haven't. No intention of doing that. No. What are your own thoughts?
I want to, because I'm really looking forward to seeing the James Bond film, but I'm not in a hurry, I'm afraid. I'm still worried about coronavirus because I'm a diabetic, so I'm really worried about A, passing on anything to anybody else, and B, I don't think it's socially correct yet. I don't feel you can sit in a cinema be apart enough.
I mean, Robin, you obviously went dressed as the masked bandoleros when you went to see. In fact, you've been there twice now. I mean, is it that Wales has a special immunity? Or is it just a case of you thought, what the hey? I'm a midweek drivet. I am immune.
Did you hear that? What the hey?
What the hey? like you, Graham, I'm diabetic and I have a heart condition. So I'm being very careful with going out into crowds. But when I'm going somewhere crowded, I will wear a mask or preferably a snood. Yeah. But in the cinemas, I've noticed it's no longer the sort of social hub that it used to be. Very few people in there. They limit the number of people in the screenings. Groups of people can't sit close to each other, and alternate rows are actually blocked off. So you'll get one party per row in a screening room. So I have to admit, I felt perfectly safe in there.
Right, okay. That sounds good.
On the other hand, in London,
that was in a multiplex. Sorry?
In London, it could be a nightmare. It could be a different line entirely.
Yeah.
And as I said, Middlesbrough, we're literally on the cusp of going into lockdown, so who knows what could actually happen. But then again, that's our mayor for you. He's just a wild and crazy guy.
But then again, Wales, you know, it's not even mandatory to wear masks anywhere except public transport. So, you know, what are you going to do?
No, it's strange. It's a strange time.
Strange times, but at the end of the day, we're making some fun times. Themes. We want to sort of pepper this little piece with music, clearly. We're going up to, as I say, our little piece with Adrian Wigglesford, courtesy of the classic Doctor Who theme. But let's talk Gerry Anderson, as we have been. What was your favourite theme tune to a Gerry Anderson programme, Graham?
Ooh, well, Thunderbirds.
It is Thunderbirds, yeah. See, I'm going to go Fireball XL5. Just because I'm like that, or possibly Secret Service. Robin, what about yourself?
Are you talking about the end theme for Fireball XL5 or
absolutely.
Opening?
I mean, no, the opening theme is, are you ready, Venus? All right, let's go. Yeah. Not a great deal there, really.
Would Fireball XL5 have been anywhere near as good had it not been in black and white? You know, it just added to the weirdness of it all. And how, by the end of the series, how many of those sleds off the rails were over the end of the side of that hill? They used one every time they launched.
These are the classic images that this series clearly has an awful lot to actually answer for.
I love that series, though.
Not only that. In fact, we obviously have to ask Jamie which one he would actually recommend us to scrutinise for Fireball XL5, which is wonderful. Curiously, little fun fact, I'm sure you knew this, Graham and Robin, that the voice to Robbie the Robot was indeed Gerry Anderson himself.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Which, again, is another commonality, because Gerry has portrayed the voice of a robot on screen, on our way home, as indeed have you, Graham, of course, in Waters of Mars.
Of course I did, yes.
I deliberately said nothing there because I knew if we actually thought long enough and I sent my telepathy Professor X style to you, you would actually say, yes, I was, you know.
I did the robot.
It was one of your wonderful cameo roles, which even Alfred Hitchcock would have been impressed at.
It's funny because I used to do it on the set. I would, I would read the robot and have a voice at that stage. And when we got to do the dubbing, I was planning to have a particular actor to come in and do that. And Russell said, absolutely not. The only person's voice I want to have him do that is you. So I did it.
which is all we really need to wrap up things neatly. So I will say, first question to yourself, Graham Harper, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
I've enjoyed it enormously, yeah.
I know you can't join us to deal with Arthur Weingarten, our producer in San Diego, to talk about his experience with Adam's Family, with The Green Hornet, with Wild Wild West, Linda Barron and so on, because you've actually decided to snub us for another Zoomer. That's okay. We're used to this. We had to cope with Anne Lockhart not even responding, even though our agent said, you know, what can go on in this place? It happens. You know, there was I trying to surreptitiously work in the Lockhart family from Lost in Space, Battlestar Galactica. You know, plans, you know, as you make plans, the good Lord actually laughs. That's the key thing. But can we look forward to featuring you again in the very near future, Graham?
Gadget.
Not only do we actually get the launch of First Action Bureau announced, FAB, but we also get Graham doing Gadget. I was again willing you to do it. It's just there. Was that a yes or no?
It's a yes. I'd love to come back.
And would you like to turn those last two questions to Robin, who, as you know, is in the midst of actually doing a little midweek drive marathon of Zoomers?
Yes. Hello, Robin.
Spoiler. Bye, Robin.
Have you had a reasonably interesting conversation with us?
I have really enjoyed this one. Yes, thank you.
Me too. And would you come back and join us again?
Oh, absolutely. You're going to need a restraining order.
Good.
Just as well Jamie's left then, Robin. Otherwise, who knows what could have actually happened. You know, he's away from that. Thanks to Jamie Anderson. Thanks to Graham Harper. Thanks to Robin Pierce. Stick around after this. We'll be speaking to Adrian Wrigglesford. That's it. Happy trails. Keep on keeping on. Or in the immortal words of Gadget, Gadget, Gadget.
Gadget, Gadget.
Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
Beauty of Zoom is that it enables us to connect through all manner of wonderful things with Midweek Drivettes across the years, across the generations, across the decades, and even across the centuries. We're delighted to welcome back a Doctor Who scholar of key and capabilities, quality in general, all around good script writer. He, of course, wrote a couple of classic Graham Harper biographies. We are talking, of course, of the amazingly wonderful Adrian Wrigglesford. How are you, Adrian?
I'm still alive, sir.
Well, that's good. It shows that your mission on the planet Earth hasn't finished as yet. Have to ask the question, Adrian, why Patrick Troughton as your avatar in your Facebook package? Is he because he is ultimately your favourite doctor, or is it just a case of, I can't possibly go Jodie Whittaker? I honestly can't.
I think it's probably because I did meet him a couple of times. And I've met quite a few of the doctors over the years, and he was the one out of all of them that I think you'd say he didn't let you down. He was what you'd want him to be. He was charming. He was very friendly. I didn't sit talking to him. I mean, this is...
Sadly, Adrian, you seem to be breaking up fairly badly. We got a few of the sort of bits and pieces there in terms of Pat Troughton and how his positive was there. And I think that was certainly echoed by two folk that we've worked with who did know him very well and are very positive about him, understandably. Fraser Hines, of course, who was Jamie. And, of course, Annika Wills, who was Polly, I think, from that point of view. So, but you basically said Patrick Troughton was your favourite doctor.
He's the one I wish there were more episodes of, certainly. Yes, wow. I think I'd say he is the favourite.
Yeah. Listen, I've got to ask the question because the vitriol that's been poured out over the Chris Chibnall era has been quite phenomenal. It's probably only matched by the vitriol that Star Trek folk have been pouring out against Alex Kurtzman in the States over Lower Decks. Sometimes Picard, certainly Discovery. What's your view? Is it a case of this is the BBC? They've gone crazy. This is the reason we can't get Are You Being Served remade again? It's all problematic in terms of wokeness gone wild.
Well, what I can say is that people I know who've got kids, younger kids, they all love Jodie Whittaker and they love the programme. So I guess people that really are complaining aren't accepting it for what it is, that it's moved on for a new generation. And that generation has its expectations, whether they're meeting them or not, I don't know. A good friend said to me, Doctor Who is no country for old men now, because I'm of an age that grew up watching the finale of John Pertwee and early Tom Baker. So it's never going to be how you remembered it when you first watched it. So it's a case of give and take. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of some of the storytelling. I think she's good. She's growing on people that I know, but I don't know other than that. What's your thought?
Okay, I think Jodie Whittaker is an excellent actress. I think Chris Chibnall has certainly got some interesting experiences to bring to bear on the project. I do feel that in keeping with one or two elements within the BBC, they are too prone to signpost in neon lights and lettering what actually doesn't necessarily need to be signposted and flagged up in terms of people's personal lives and so on. And I think that does tend to be a little bit problematic. I have a certain sympathy for some of the critics in the States who maintain that the programme as we know it has been killed completely, all due to the licence fee funded body that is the BBC. I can see partly their point. But it's interesting that Chibnall seems to have reversed the complexities of the era of Stephen Moffat, where I think one of the general allegations against Stephen was that he was too complex in his storytelling and writing and so on. And maybe the level of exposition in terms of the storylines is a little bit excessive. I'm speaking as a consumer, not a professional script writer, script editor. It's just my observation. I think Russell T. Davis managed to actually get it perfectly right and capture that huge audience. I think Chibnall has, if you're looking at figures, got one or two problems. Although, admittedly, one has to acknowledge that when you look at catch-up, when you look at the other ways in which people consume it, I mean, the days, Adrian, were Saturday night was Doctor Who and or Buck Rogers, Friday night was Thunderbirds. Watching television at a specific time, planning program schedules has long gone. And I think the shift to Sundays was a final gasp to actually get some kind of uniformity in terms of let's get people watching Doctor Who collectively again. I don't think that's going to happen, as you said, because people have moved on. Overall series, 6.5 or so for me, 6.5 out of 10 to possibly 7. So not great, a bit, in the classic words of a mutual colleague, a bit meh, you know, so-so.
Well, I think one of the things about it is you can't deny its ambition with the visuals that some of the directors are trying to do, but...
Yeah, not a patch on Graham Harper, though, let's face it.
Well, no. Whether it's meeting the story head on and whether the story is actually there to warrant that ambition, if you see what I mean. Are they trying to compensate? That's the question. Are they trying to say, right, let's throw everything at this try and make it look more than it is?
The nadir of the whole season was probably the character Benny, who I felt had obviously been transplanted into 21st century Doctor Who from his role in 20th century Crossroads. And actually, it should never have occurred. I know it wasn't Paul Henry, but honestly, you know, that was just not a good episode, really, when they're on a planet and Benny is lost. It's just, please, you know, just don't go there. Having said that, you take an episode like Rosa, acknowledging, obviously, a historical, almost back to classic William Hartnell Doctor Who, really, long before the monsters started becoming prolific. And that whole aspect of Rosa Parks was an episode which I thought worked very well. Although, again, I acknowledge some of our colleagues in the States who felt not all white American males were racist, maybe didn't need it to be sort of just outlined a little bit better. But I thought that worked well. So there is, I mean, I don't think the end of Doctor Who is nigh as yet. But as you say, I think it's changed, it's adjusted. And maybe it's the same thing with Star Wars, because let's face it, Kathleen Kennedy has been saddled with the the mantra of being almost the person who's killed Star Wars in the same way as, you know, we've seen Chris Chibnall being accused of doing the same thing with Doctor Who. Maybe it's just a case of some fans will never be pleased.
Well, they're about to start in September filming the next season. That's the plan, pandemic permitting. So it's going to be quite a while before any new season's ready, at least 9 months to a year. So we've got the Dalek episode at Christmas, and then there's a big, big gap, as I say. But interestingly, what you were saying about the reactions, I lived through all of the JNT Must Go campaigns, and it's interesting to see how people are looking.
He's a saviour now, a saviour. Some of those Colin Baker episodes, the best ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see what they did with the Blu-ray collection, and they re-edited Terror of the Vervoids into a natural four-part story. The acclaim was astronomical. But equally, if you think back in fan history, if you like, when The Deadly Assassin was broadcast, there was outrage over what they did with that. And there was...
Wasn't that flagged up by Mary Whitehouse at the time, though, who felt that the drowning sequence was just unacceptable? And what on earth was Phil Williams thinking of?
Well, yes. And what was Robert Holmes trying to do? Yeah. I mean...
Quick correction there, obviously, it's Philip Hinchcliffe, not Philip Williams. Yeah, I know people will be actually saying, what? You know, who's Philip Williams? No, Philip Hinchcliffe.
Very true, very true. But there's been so much outcry. I mean, Graham Williams' stories are now looked at very fondly, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with the reaction of today's audience when the Blu-rays come out, because most of those DVDs you can't get now. So it's interesting. There was quite a while of people being anti-John Pertwee because of the moralising and, in a way, the lecturing that went on via the storylines politically. People were...
Clearly, Barry Letts had a green agenda, which he was pushing forward no matter what when it comes to the Green Death and so on. I mean, even Katie Manning's Joe Grant character actually went off with an eco-warrior. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. And you look at it and they're going on about mushrooms being used as a food source and altered.
That's where Linda McCartney clearly got the idea. And, you know, sadly... Together with the majority of the cast of the John Pertwee era, Linda McCartney also transcended this particular life. Never mind.
Very true, very true. But it'll be interesting to see once Jodie Whittaker's gone and whoever comes along to take over, because there is a serious commitment financially with the BBC to keep going. I mean, into BBC, they're saying, well, series 14 and 15 are certainly locked in.
I suppose Tim Davey could have something to say about that, Adrian. You know, the new director general, just as Michael Grade, when he was controller of BBC One, effectively sort of worked through that. That could be another line entirely. We seem to have lost you once again, Adrian. He's gone off into the void. He's gone off into the dimension. It's cut off again. But nevertheless, it was joyous actually spending some time speaking and shooting the breeze there with a Doctor Who fan, Doctor Who scholar, and indeed a writer of the Harper Classics, amongst other things, the wonderful Adrian Wrigglesford. Adrian, we salute you.